The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
All right, Craig, thank you. Welcome to the 4 o'clock hour. I'm Dave Congleton. We're going to break this hour up into two parts. During the second half, Jill Turnbow, actor, director, writer extraordinaire, will join us. She's got a one-woman show coming to Slo Rep this weekend. We'll talk about that. We'll take a look at the stock market. During the 5 o'clock hour, Ingrid Pierce looks at what's been happening in Yosemite with the staff cuts. It is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. This hour, or this segment rather, we put the spotlight on a very important group that's called Spokes. We're joined by the CEO, Michael Simpkins, and he has brought with him board member and CEO of United Way, Liz Sommer. The voltage is electrifying to see both of you. Thank you for coming in. You're smiling. Things must be good. Michael, let's remind folks about Spokes, please.
Spokes is the nonprofit support center. Our goal and our mission is to help the other nonprofits in our county to reach their goals through support and expert resources.
How they do, Liz? How are they doing?
They're doing really well, and it's a great opportunity for both those who work for nonprofits as well as those who serve on nonprofit boards to get help or to make their knowledge deeper in certain areas. There's an upcoming, tomorrow there's something, but next week there's something I'm going to partake in, and that's learning how to write a grant. Since I've served on boards, but working for a nonprofit, that's something that it's a skill I need to learn. So that's something that Spokes offers, which is really convenient to be able to go and have an in-person class and learn about it.
What's your website, Michael?
SpokesForNonprofits.org.
The basic question, what's the health of the nonprofit community in your estimation right now, Michael?
Well, a lot of them are in a more than usual state of uncertainty. Lots of changes coming out of Washington, and especially those nonprofits that depend for part of their income, if not a significant part of their income, on federal grants. And sometimes it's even federal money that gets passed through state grants, where the state gets the money first and then they parcel it out. So that's one aspect, is just uncertainty in funding. And another part of their challenge right now has to do with the changes in enforcement of immigration laws, ICE needing to be prepared for ICE to come to the office and ask to see records and find people.
Why is that a factor? Tell me more about that.
Why is it a factor?
I ask that because we just finished this conversation with the senior living people, and I guess in caregiving homes right now, it's being a factor. There's not enough caregivers because of the immigration issue.
In this case, we had a number of nonprofits came to Spokes asking for our help, where their issue is that they have clients who have a right to services who are afraid to come and get them because of they're kind of in hiding, staying home. And they also were concerned, like, what do we do if, I mean, in two examples there, where even the county was part of that meeting of child welfare services and public health. So, as well as a number of nonprofits, all of whom may, in one way or another, deal with immigrant population in our county.
Yeah. Liz, in general, what's your take on the status of nonprofits?
Well, I feel that we do have a lot of nonprofits in this county for the amount of residents that we have, for the population. And I see more need for collaboration, more need even for mergers. We've seen some nonprofits that have done that, because it's expensive, you know, running the business side and the programs of these nonprofits. And so, you know, that's something that everyone's going to have to look at, and we share donors in many cases as it is. So if you're working with a nonprofit, sometimes that's the donors like to see that, too, if two nonprofits come together and work on something.
And while you're here, let's put a plug in for United Way. How are things at the local chapter of United Way?
Well, at United Way, we're focusing our attention on four of our programs. And when you were talking about the immigrants, one of the important ones is 211. That's a helpline. Mm-hmm. Anyone can call and ask questions, everything from, you know, I need a place to live, I need a place to sleep tonight, I need a meal, I need legal advice, I need to get my taxes done. It's across the board. And so with us, that's a service that's open to everyone. We don't ask about anyone's status of anything. They just call and ask questions, and we give them referrals and answers. And one thing else I'd like to say about United Way, to be a member, you know, to have an organization be in good standing with United Way worldwide, we have our DEI policy on the landing page of our website, and that's something that will continue because that's a requirement of what's expected of us as United Ways around the United States. And our United Way in San Luis Obispo County, we don't have federal funding. We depend on donations, some state grants, county grants, but the money is pretty much coming from local yeah. folks.
Michael, you're referencing the challenge with funds drying up, and what immediately comes to mind to me is Lumina Alliance, and they've taken a huge hit in the money that they got. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's a big challenge.
That's a big challenge. And you know, it is definitely bigger for some of the nonprofits than others. And I'm not at all confident that that the private funds and private donors can take over.
Yeah.
You know, and fill the gap.
Yeah, yeah.
For the amount when you're talking about that much difference, and so it may be just that some of our nonprofits will go away, just as a business can go away if it doesn't have customers coming to pay the buy things.
So I would think Spokes is needed more than ever.
Mm. Well, and you know, the ironic thing is one of the things we do as well is help nonprofits dissolve, because there's a legal process to go through if you're going to stop, if you're going to wind down, and it's not too complicated, but especially it's one of those things for smaller ones that we can help them through the steps.
You're agreeing with that, Liz?
I am, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I'm new to the nonprofit world, working in it. I've served on boards for 35 years, but as I mentioned before, you know, so many of us retire from various industries or occupations, and we have skill sets. And for myself, I feel good that I've repurposed some of my skills to be able to help this nonprofit that's the same age as I am. And it's a nonprofit that's been around for decades. And I look at all the other nonprofits. When we look at the rich cultural life and the beautiful scenic life of living in San Luis Obispo County, as well as all the human services that are provided to people, that all comes, a vast majority of it, from the work of nonprofits and volunteers. And we can't ever lose sight of that, because that's what makes this place so beautiful. And I really feel that more focus needs to be on nonprofits, so people really realize what they do, the services they provide. I think a lot of times they think it just kind of maybe it comes from the government or something, when actually it's not. It's a nonprofit doing it.
A question coming on the Stolberg line. Michael, take this, please. It's a basic question. People are asking who is eligible to get help from Spokes?
Any nonprofit that's interested.
Large or small?
Large, small, in between.
When they reach out to you, what's typically the thing they're needing help on? What are some of the common problems that nonprofits make?
Fundraising. How to recruit more volunteers.
Yeah.
Those are two of the biggies. We get lots of calls from people who want to start another new nonprofit and want help with doing that. And then, the biggest and most common is finding ways to raise funds. And as we said, they depend on volunteers, and volunteers seem to be harder to come by as you know, our older volunteers are getting older, and our younger people are busy, so busy with family and work, that
trying to pay that $3,000 a month rent, or that $5,000 a month mortgage,
and pay back the huge student loan they took out.
We're in conversation with Liz Sommer and Michael Simpkins. We're putting the spotlight on Spokes, very, very important group here. Now, Michael, is it too late to sign up for this event you have tomorrow? Decisions, better outcomes?
Better decisions. The better decision would have been to sign up earlier.
Yeah.
It's closed because lunch is involved, and we have to order that ahead. But
other events you want to mention?
Yeah, we have Liz mentioned the getting yourself grant ready, grant readiness on March 18th. We have a Ask an Expert class. It's not really a class. It's just a chance, kind of like your what's your number on your?
211.
211, sort of like that. You can come to this Zoom meeting and ask an expert questions, and this happens to be on HR and ICE. Okay. And then for people who are thinking they might want to be on a board, don't know exactly what that is, we offer a 45-minute free Zoom class every other month. Board Service 101, and it just goes over and helps explain if you were to join a board, this is what's involved, and how to find a board that you might want to serve on.
Are these free?
Those are free.
So how do you get your funding?
Our funding comes from a local family foundation, and from we charge a little bit of money for most classes and to be a member. We have memberships and Spokes.
All right. A short break. We'll come back and keep the conversation going on AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. Assemblymember Don Addis is scheduled to join us on Wednesday. Also on Wednesday, you know, the federal employee, the Central Coast biologist who lost his job and confronted Elon Musk at the State of the Union or whatever that speech was called, he's here. We got the police chief on Thursday. This is a very important week of a lot of locally oriented shows. Hope you can be part of it. I'm Dave Congleton. We are back with our friends from Spokes. Michael Simpkins is here. Liz Sommer is here. And Michael, I promised you a chance to talk about these round tables you have.
Yes, we do. Roundtables for three different groups on a monthly basis. One is for executive directors and CEOs of nonprofits, and a different one is for the development directors, and the third is for the presidents or chairman of the boards of the nonprofits. So these are not classes. They're facilitated discussions where those who attend and whoever, you know, the attendees vary from month to month, but whoever's there shares whatever's going well in their nonprofit right now, and as well as challenges, problems, and in particular, you know, their particular problem maybe. And then the peers put their heads together. We choose one or two or three, depending on the amount of time, of different problems that come up in the arise out of that initial discussion, and try to get some group problem solving.
How do people get involved in these roundtables?
We advertise them, announce them in our newsletter, on our website, and they can just sign up.
Liz was mentioning the last segment about the United Way commitment to diversity, equity, inclusion. Is that playing out with board members and CEOs locally? Are you seeing more diversity?
A little bit. There's one of the issues is just there's not a huge pool of diversity in our county to serve. But we just completed our Board Academy, which is a series of 8-hour-long weekly sessions for board members to really a deep dive into learning about being a good board member. And this is the second year that we devoted a whole hour to DEI for board members.
Yeah. So, Liz, the obvious question there is what makes a good board member? You've been on a few boards.
I know we were talking about this during the break, and I just want to go back and just touch on the DEI as well. It's important that we diversify boards, and I feel that there's more attention to it now, that you are representing the people who you are serving, but you're also representing your community at the same time. And if you're a countywide organization, you have to have representation from various parts of the county. as well. So there's a lot that goes into building a board, but I definitely feel that diversity, equity, inclusion is much more in the forefront now when you're building a board to make sure you are representing the people of the community. We were talking about being on boards. The first time I served on a board was probably about 35, 36 years ago. And I've made friends on boards that have become longtime friends and continue to be my friends now. I've lived here 30 years, and they're people I met when I first came here. It's a great way for people to learn about a community, to make friends, make acquaintances, and to do some really good work for where you live. And so I think it's really important for people when they have an opportunity that comes up, you go through the checklist. I'm busy. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. Which, when you're thinking of making your life fuller and richer, you have an opportunity to serve people, but also meet the people that you'll be serving with. And it's just as important. And I know in business, quite often people I made friendships with in, you know, the nonprofit world, serving on a board in business, that translated. Those were people that I would quite often pick up the phone and ask questions to, depending what industry they were in for their occupation. There's a level of trust that you create. So I think serving on a board is a great opportunity for many reasons.
I think there's at least three advantages. The first is what you're giving back to the community and your participation on the board itself. And the second is what Liz was saying. You make, it's a wonderful place to make new personal friendships. But the third is instrumental in just for whatever business you're in, the networking opportunity. Mm-hmm. The people you meet who may not become your good buddy that you go out to lunch with, but become somebody that you know, and they know you, and there's a trust built up, and then you meet other people through that person. So that's an extrinsic, if you will, benefit.
Mike, I'm going to throw one at you. This is a question that's always piqued my curiosity, because I interview a lot of people in the nonprofits, and historically, there is often tension between the chair of a board and the executive director / CEO. And I know several people who have just kind of lost their jobs because as ED, CEO, they couldn't get along with the board. You must see that too.
In fact, we have a class.
There you go. I'm glad I asked it.
It's actually a class for the board president. So we have coming up, when does it start? In April. Is our board officer training program. So we have one session for the presidents or chairs, one for secretaries, one for treasurers. But the president class includes kind of a part of it on what's the relationship and what makes a good and strong relationship between the president and the executive director or CEO.
So it's not just me. It's ongoing.
And we actually have a whole class focused on that we offer separately, because it really only applies to if you've got a paid CEO.
Yeah.
Whereas the other classes, you've also got presidents and chairmen of all volunteer organizations that take that class. Because that it's really, but you know, that person represents, the president and chair represents the board, and the board is who hires this mm-hmm. executive director, yep. You know?
Right.
It's like a school district superintendent in a school board.
Before I close, I'd give a shout-out to the Diversity Coalition of Slo County, because they actually had a program about helping boards find people of color.
Yeah. In fact, we were a partner with them on that project.
Apparently
last
went
year.
Very well.
Yes.
So maybe we'll see more of it. All right, Michael, one last time, please. What's the website for Spokes?
Spokesfornonprofits.org.
Go there and see all the great, important events that are coming up and get involved. Liz, final thoughts?
I just appreciate you having us on to be able to talk about this. Like I said, it makes up the nonprofits are an important part of the fabric of where we live. And I feel that we're in need of volunteers, and volunteers serve in many capacities. They show up at events and such, but they're also board members, committee members, people who bring their ideas and support to an organization.
And what's the website for United Way?
It is UnitedWaySLO.org.
Kind of says it all. Michael, final thoughts?
Oh, I just reiterate, thanks for having us.
He's a man of few words. Come on, Michael, work with me. He's got tapes from 1994 being on the show. Yeah, he hasn't changed in 30 years.
What was I talking about then? It wasn't nonprofits.
I can't even remember yesterday. All right, folks, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Off we go. News, traffic, weather. Jill Turnbow is in the house. I'm Dave Congleton. Stick around.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.